Stumbling backward, Robert suddenly clutched his chest and collapsed.
Ambush!
John swung up his rapid fire and sent a stuttering stream of lead into the chilly air. Even as the M16 rapid fires filled the night with hot lead, Edward kicked over the coffee pot to drown the campfire, and Robert fell to his feet and grabbed a weapon to join his brothers. From along a low ridge came a fusillade of return fire. Doc couldn't believe that Robert was still alive until he spotted the large rent in the bald Coldheart's vest, exposing the angular body armor underneath.
Stupid bastards can't hit shit!
Edward sprayed the ridge.
You idiot! They're trying not to hit directly! Must be Ryan and his boys coming for a rescue!
Good.
Carefully keeping Doc between him and the ridge, John Rogan reached the frightened horses and kept firing while he fumbled in a saddlebag with one hand. Pulling a Gren, he crouched to prime the canister and then threw it high. The sleep gas Gren was still airborne when JB popped up behind the sandstone ridge and triggered his scattergun. The canister exploded in midair, spreading a thick cloud high above the combatants, the desert breeze slowly pushing it toward the dead waterfall. Then, from among the companions firing along the ridge, a pretty face surrounded by wild ebony hair appeared, a slim hand triggering a huge hand blaster.
That was Lily! That fragile slut must have told him how to track us through the radio!
If she's not with us, then she gets aced with him!
Edward pulled out a Gren, but the barrel-chested Coldheart jerked as he caught a flurry of rounds across the stomach. He staggered. The sphere dropped from his hand and rolled aimlessly along the sand. As the Gren stopped near Doc, he tried to kick it away, but his bound legs were unable to reach that far. Unable to do anything but watch, Doc suddenly smiled when he saw that the pin and arming handle were still attached. Edward had never gotten a chance to arm the charge. Exhaling in relief, Doc concentrated on trying to reach the butane lighter in his pocket. With luck, he might be able to burn through enough of the nylon strands to get one hand free, then toss the Gren back to the Rogans to end this conflict in a single stroke. Leveling his combo rapid fire, John worked the Gren launcher and thumped a 40mm shell at the ridge. Then Jack stroked his .357 Magnum Colt Python, and the hand blaster slammed the Elder Rogan off his feet. Several pipe bombs went skyward from behind the ridge. Robert tried to shoot them out of the air, but missed, and the pipes landed behind the Rogans. Caught by the shrapnel, the last bike erupted into an electrical blast that illuminated the entire landscape for one long, searing heartbeat. As the incandescent glare faded, Doc arched an eyebrow at the sliver of black metal quivering in the ground, only a hair away from the Gren. Muttering a silent prayer to whoever was watching out for him, Doc continued playing the butane flame along the nylon strands, slowly melting his way through the stubborn netting. The fumes mixing with the ozone were making it difficult for him to breathe, but Doc doggedly continued, stealing tiny sips of air where he could. Retreating behind the smoking corpses of the horses, the Rogan brothers tore open the tattered saddlebags to stuff their pockets with Grens and every spare ammo clip still intact. Another pipe bomb sailed high. Spinning, John shot it out of the air with his revolver. A few moments later, a very different sound carried on the wind. Fumbling with his rapid fire, Robert loaded an illuminating shell into the Gren launcher and pumped the brass into the sky. The 40mm star shell detonated high and drifted slowly downward, the shiny parachute reflecting the brilliant light of the magnesium charge to spread out a cone of illumination. Moving like ghosts in a dream, tiny humanoid figures were loping across the flatlands, lumpy, misshapen things that only vaguely resembled humans with their tattered clothing. Christy dumped the spent brass from her revolver and frantically thumbed in fresh rounds.
Stickies! Dozens of them!
Ryan inserted a fresh clip into the Sig Sauer's grip.
There's a lot more than that.
Quickly, the Deathlands warrior glanced around and weighed the options. This was a poor location for a stand-up fight with Stickies. There was only flat ground ahead of the companions, and behind was the cliff with a drop that ended far out of sight. The companions still had their horses, but that would mean leaving Doc behind. It would be kinder to put lead in the old man than abandon him to the muties and the Rogans.
This is the work of Delphi. When the Wrinkly buried him alive, the White Coat had to have summoned his new contents to get revenge.
Ryan and JB shared a fast glance. Delphi was dead? That was good news, if it were true.
Well, maybe we could dig him free.
Lily hesitantly lowered her blaster. Then she saw a Sticky running along the ground, its sucker-covered arms splayed wide.
No time!
JB sprayed the mutie with his 9mm Uzi. But more muties appeared behind it, and even more from the sides. There seemed to be an endless supply of the shambling monstrosities. Ryan pulled a pipe bomb from his pocket.
Looks like we all buy the farm, or stand together. Your call, Rogans. But make it fast.
Growling in barely controlled fury, John turned his head away as if unable to face the truth. Then turned toward the one-eyed man across the drifting sands.
Upgrade! Done!
Ryan lit the pipe bomb and heaved it out toward the dunes. The bomb landed, and all of the nearby Stickies turned at the noise, then converged to fight over the sizzling length of fuse. A moment later, the pipe bomb detonated.
These things sure as hell ain't too smart!
Robert shot from the hip. The other muties seemed to become excited by the sound of gunfire.
Eat this, nuke suckers!
Chewing on a cigar butt, JB unleashed the Uzi, while Mildred emptied her MP5 in one long burst. The last two arched around their comrades and threw themselves at the entrenched people. Steadily firing his Webley hand blaster, John dashed forward to retrieve the fallen M16 from the warm ashes. He took out a couple of Stickies dangerously close to dock. While John yearned to crucify the Wrinkly, common sense dictated that the old man had to be kept safe until John knew for sure whether Delphi was feeding the worms. With his Colt Python blazing away, Jack blew the head off a female Sticky.
Dark night. It's like the nest in Tucson all over again.
Don't let them get behind us.
Concentrating on their brother, Edward and Robert gave cover fire as John raced back to the meager protection of the dead horses. From out of nowhere, a Sticky rose into view from behind the shattered juniper tree and reached for the man with its deadly hands. Dodging out of the way, John cut loose with a rapid fire at point-blank range. But more Stickies came into view. There had to have been a dozen of the creatures. In a deadly crossfire, Ryan and Edward both took out a Sticky, while Lily fired and missed. Mildred blew up a group with a pipe bomb, while John did the same with his last 40mm shell. JB used the S&W M4000 to blast the leg off a mutie trying to scramble up the sandstone ridge. As the limb fell away, the Sticky grabbed the scattergun and made a swipe for the armorer's face. Releasing the shotgun, JB ducked and his glasses came off. Dropping the scattergun, the wounded Sticky awkwardly lunged for the man just as Jack flicked his wrist. A knife slammed into the throat of the Sticky. JB racked the scattergun and blew off the Sticky's head. Two Stickies started toward dock, trapped in the netting, and the old man instantly stopped using the butane lighter on the resilient nylon. The flame was doing little damage to the material and was beginning to attract the unwanted attention of the lethal muties.
Lily, go free dock!
Ryan triggered the gun and killed two muties near his friend. But more took their place. Pausing only for a second, the young woman hobbled over the ridge and slid down the sandstone on the seat of her pants to shuffle toward the trapped man. She hurriedly crossed the flatland while trying to reload her blaster. Realizing that she was being used as bait, Lily frowned, but kept going, firing her weapon at the inhuman horde until flopping down next to Doc, his face barely visible through the black nylon strands.
Warn me if one gets close.
On your nine!
The confused woman paused for a moment, then spun to her left. Placing the blaster on the sand, Lily pulled out a knife and started cutting the netting.
Oh, damn Stickies!
I agree wholeheartedly. Well done, lass. Good shot.
Thanks.
She leaned over to put more of her weight onto the blade.
This time, just say left or right, okay?
My mistake.
Already softened from the flame of the butane lighter, the strands began to part and a layer peeled away. Brushing back her long hair, Lily concentrated on the job of melting the net without setting the man trapped inside ablaze. from his prone position, but was startled to discover that he could see straight down her loose shirt and a pair of firm young breasts unfettered by a pre-dark bra. Blushing mightily, Doc quickly averted his gaze. Billy noticed the direction of his eyes.
Look all you want to. You saved my life yesterday, Tanner. Doc. We get out of this alive. I'll thank you.
Doc fought for words.
I also got you shocked, dear child.
Doc flexed his arms against the confines of the netting. There was some give, but not much.
Ain't no child. The goddess slut ages fast lying on her back all day.
Lily moved the flame to another nylon strand.
Or do you prefer boys, old-timer?
Good heavens, no.
Fair enough, then. I'll do you proper. And that's a promise.
Cut faster, or your generous offer will be moot.
Unsure of exactly what the hell that meant, Lily bit her tongue to not sound like a thief, and redoubled her efforts. As a group of stickies charged along the ridge, Jack pulled out a pipe bomb, fumbling for his butane lighter. The team went cold as something moved in the flickering light of the burning motorcycle. Instinctively, Jack dodged to the left. A sucker-covered hand grazed his jacket. A sticky stood behind Robert, holding a large chunk of bleeding flesh. Shuddering all over, the bald Rogan fell to the desert sand, blood pouring from the ghastly wound in his neck.
No!
Edward emptied an entire clip to blow the mutie's head apart. But more of them converged on the big Rogan, and he disappeared within the crowd of stickies, waving his exhausted rapid fire. His face a mask of feral anger, John started that way, firing at every step. But then he stopped as his weapon jammed, and he hastily worked the bolt to try to clear the brass caught in the ejector port.
Now, fucking piece of shit!
John dropped the half-spent clip to insert a full one. As the creatures began to noisily feed on the dead Rogans, Jack lit the fuse on the pipe bomb and started to throw it at them. Then he bent forward slightly so that his snowy hair tumbled back into his scarred face. Ryan recognized that posture as the teenager's combat stance and wondered what he had planned. It better be good, because the companions were dangerously low on ammo and almost out of bombs. Angling around, Jack heaved the bomb past the crowd of feeding stickies and threw it toward the cliff. That immediately caught the attention of every sticky. The muties swarmed past the norms and headed for the smoking blast crater.
It worked!
Ryan pulled out a pipe bomb.
Okay, drive them in!
Hurriedly, fuses were lit and bombs were hurled to rain destruction upon the stickies on the cliff. Cornered on the cliff, trapped by their own lust for fiery destruction, the muties coalesced into a group target, and the norms ruthlessly mowed them down. In only a few minutes, it was all over.
Well, that seems to be all of the bastards.
Looks like. Which only leaves one Rogan to deal with.
Covered in entrails and blood, John Rogan checked his blaster and watched the other people through narrowed eyelids. There was only half a clip of brass left, but if the Outlanders wanted to dance, he would put at least one of them on the last train west. Stepping over a blast crater, JB stopped a yard away from the last Rogan brother, deliberately just out of reach. The tall man looked more than capable of killing with his bare hands.
Blood for blood. That means it's okay with us if you walk out of here.
Yeah?
Ryan rested the wooden stock of the Stire on a hip.
You can load it into your blaster. Bury your kin and leave in peace. Or come at us right now. It's aces or eights with me either way. Your choice.
Jack thumped back the hammer on his Colt Python.
Just go far. We see you again, you chilled. Savvy?
John shifted his grip on his own weapon. The dust was so thick in his throat it was like trying to breathe underground, and the dirt carried the taste of the grave.
Sounds good. Just give me Lily and I'm gone.
No, not the girl. We don't barter with people as if they were Jack. All the blasters and brass you can carry, and a bag full of self-eats, but nothing else.
Frowning deeply, John used stiff fingers to brush back his loose hair.
Don't have much of a choice, now do I? Fair enough, then. No deal.
Shooting from the hip, John dove to the side. A line of impact geysers formed, where Ryan had been just a split moment before. but the one-eyed man was already in motion, his Sig Sauer chugging death. The rounds ricocheted off the angular body armor under John's gore-streaked shirt, and the tall man staggered from the impact, but triggered another short burst from the pre-dark rapid fire. Ducking low, Jack fired the Colt Python, the impact making the Coltheart step backward and trip over a dead sticky. Dropping to his belly, JB unleashed the scattergun just as John pulled a grin from his pocket. John clutched his bloody face and went over backward, losing the grin. It rolled along the ground and dropped in a blast crater, still misty with smoke.
Down!
The fiery detonation illuminated the entire cliff in stark relief. As the harsh glare dissipated, there was no sight of the last Rogan.